This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi, everyone. It's Rita Reimers back with 19 Cats and Counting. I am a certified cat behaviorist. Please visit my website, ritareimers.com, for more information. I'm so excited because Dr. Kelly Cairns is back, and I haven't spoken with her in quite a long time. We just spent some time catching up. But now we want to talk about this awful heat we've been having and how does it affect our cats. We'll be right back after just a little word from our sponsor.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting. And Dr. Kelly, I am so thrilled to have you back on the show.
It's so awesome to be back.
It's been awfully hot here in South Carolina. How's it been by you? Has it been really hot for you?
Chicago's had some hot days, not going to lie.
It's awful. I mean, it's hard enough for me to stay cool. I mean, I took a cool bath last night and I already feel like, you know, I'm sweating through that. I need another one. And my cats, I notice, are drinking a lot more water. How does the heat really affect our indoor cats and why does it affect them?
Yeah, I definitely think that hot weather is something that deserves some special attention for cats specifically. Oftentimes folks will say like, oh, I thought cats are really good at handling heat. And the fact is that cats are actually less efficient at cooling themselves than dogs are. They actually, fun fact, they don't have very many sweat glands, maybe just a little bit in their paw pads. So for a kitty that does get hot to cool, they're going to rely mostly on grooming and evaporative cooling that way, as well as behavior, like stretching out, increased surface area, or seeking shade.
So this is why during the hot weather, we really have to keep an extra eye on our cats. It's not like dogs. Dogs pant to cool themselves. If you see a cat panting, that's not a good thing.
Correct. So really big thing that's important for kitty loving friends to understand. Panting in a cat is never normal. If you ever see your cat panting, that is a red flag. You need to call your vet. We know dogs pant for a ton of reasons. Anytime a cat pants, something is wrong. Now, that could be heat, stress. They could be in pain. A lot of times it could be something wrong with their breathing or a heart issue. So they're not going to pant the way dogs do, basically. It's abnormal.
Sometimes if I play with my cats a little too long, they will pant a little bit. So that means I just took it too far. That if it stops right away, that's not a red flag, or I should still keep an eye on them.
Yeah. So my rule is always, if you see your cat do that, even if it's once, call your vet, be prudent to just rule things out. Now, I will tell you, there's always an exception to every rule. A long time ago, I did have a young cat just coming out of that kitten into young adult phase that when I would play, like you just said, when I would play way too hard, way too long, was just once in a blue moon, and then done. But I still evaluated that because you would want to make sure that that kitty doesn't have what's called an occult or hidden heart condition.
What about heat exhaustion and heat stroke? Is that a thing for cats like it is for people?
Absolutely. So a cat can just be warm, or a cat can actually get heat exhaustion or heat stroke. It's the same as with people. It's the same as with dogs. They absolutely can get heat stroke. So, you know, we can talk about kind of, you know, what that could look like and what you need to do about it.
Huh. It's just so interesting because my cats never go outside and I have the air conditioner on. So I thought, you know, the heat wouldn't affect them, but it seems to. Why is that?
Yeah. So, and that's a little bit of a myth to bust. So indoor doesn't automatically mean climate controlled or heat safe. You know, a cat that lives in an apartment that's closed up or a house with no airflow can trap heat. Sometimes it can get hotter inside than it can outside, if especially top floor unit or that's got a lot of sun, especially if say you've gone out of town, you're going to have a cat sitter come over to your house. And so you've turned off that air conditioning. That can get very hot. And an indoor cat is obviously not going to be opening a window or finding shade the way an outdoor cat instinctively would. So I do think that living indoors, which I do recommend, removes a ton of risks, right? Cars, predators, toxins, et cetera. It doesn't completely remove the heat risk. It might just change a little bit what that looks like and how it could show up.
My cats are funny. I have heat and air conditioning returns in the floor. And both in the summer for the air conditioning and in the winter for the heat, a couple of my cats like to lay right on them. Is that all right for them?
Right on. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I trust the cat if it's cold and you've got it pouring heat out, as long as that surface isn't like, say, one of those old fashioned, radiators that heats to the touch.
No, that could burn the cat.
But if the hot air is just coming out, or on the other side of the coin, if it's air conditioning and it's cold, if they're able to get up and move off it, if it becomes unpleasant, they will probably do that. So I would usually trust the cat to mediate that, as long as they're able to get up.
I want to go back to something you mentioned a minute ago, pet sitter, cat sitters. You know, I used to own a cat sitting company, 17 years. I was the primary sitter for 15 of those. And there were times that I would walk into an apartment, especially when I lived in Los Angeles, and they would have the air conditioning off, and it was so hot. And I would ask them, please let me turn the AC on. One of my clients, they actually had all of the air conditioning and heat returns blocked with art up on the wall. She's like, no, you can't turn it on because it's going to affect all the stuff on the walls. So that's just really a bad idea.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. A good rule of thumb for me is, if it wouldn't be comfortable for you to sit in that house for several hours, it is not comfortable or safe for your cat either. But unlike you, they can't open the door and leave. So I would strongly recommend that kitty parents keep that AC running at a reasonable set point. I mean, do I think we need to be frosting it like the mini mall does in Florida on a hot day and it's 62 degrees? Probably not. But let's set it to a reasonable set point. Let's close the blinds and curtains on those sun-facing windows and make sure that you are having someone doing daily check-ins, especially during a heat wave, not just for food and litter, but as a heat safety check.
What's funny is, even when it's hot and the cats are, drinking more and all of that, at night in the bed, they still want to lay on top of me. I'm like, really, guys, come on. So I have to have the ceiling fan on to keep us cool. My upstairs doesn't get as cooled down or as warm in the winter. So I had to buy an extra fan, even though I have a ceiling fan, one of those oscillating things, especially the one room where, of course, Lulu is. They won't come downstairs where it's cooler. So I had to make it cooler up here for them. So is that a good idea to set up a fan for a cat, as long as you use a safe one, right?
Yeah, as long as you use a safe one and you know your cat. Some cats like to get into different things than other cats. So as long as it's in a safe spot and it's a safe fan that's not going to injure the cat, I think that can be really great. And another thing I was just thinking of when you were chatting is, again, not to make everybody super panic, but power outages can happen during a heat wave. And if you're away and your cat's at home, that can be a real risk. So I just always would encourage folks, because a lot of us will have a cat sitter and we won't have our cats boarded when we go away, because cats like to stay in the home environment. Just have a backup plan. If it's a short trip or if your cat is good to go with multiple boxes and food and water for a few days, you need a backup plan of somebody that can get into your house in case you do have a power outage.
Yeah, definitely. We had to do that once when I owned Just for Cats Pet Sitting. We actually had to pack up 4 black cats and take them. The sitter took them to her home because there was no power at the home. And we had to make sure the cat stayed cool. It was in California over the hill. If anybody in LA doesn't know, or people who aren't in LA, over the hill, that's really, really, really hot. That's the valley. More hot than Los Angeles. What else can we do to help keep our cats cool?
Yeah. Well, water, 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 which not only is going to keep them cool, but it's one of the best things you can do for your cat to keep their organs functioning well, especially as they get older, the kidneys. And so those of us that have loved many cats over the years know that cats can be funny with water. They are little camels, so they like to concentrate their urine, and they may not always act like they need to drink a lot. But we really need a lot of sources of fresh water. Fountains, some cats love the fountain. It can encourage drinking more than just a still bowl. All the cats I've ever had really like bowls that they think are not theirs. So a little life hack I do is to put cups my cups out in different spots, and they seem to like to drink from those. I think they think they're getting away from something.
That's true. They do.
They do. Yeah. It's kind of like when you buy them the expensive toy and all they want is the crinkled up, you know, tinfoil, right? That, or the box that came from Amazon. So water is really important. You know, wet food does help with hydration. You know, I always encourage folks when it comes to feeding, though, to talk to your veterinarian to find out what the best food is for your cat. There are some instances when there might be some dry diets that could be better for your cat than a wet diet. But, you know, cooling mats do exist. Ice cubes. So some cats are not going to be a fan of this, but some cats really like ice cubes. So that can serve a dual purpose, not only hydration to, when they lick it, but also enrichment because they like to bat them around.
They do.
Yeah. And then again, you know, this might be an ounce of prevention, but make sure you're checking enclosed spaces. You know, I think all of us, despite best intentions, have had cats that we couldn't find for a while. And we realized that they got stuck in whatever, a garage or a closet or something. I thought I lost a cat once and it was a brand new house. We had just moved in and, you know, there was a giant closet that I guess had an entryway to go like behind multiple walls. It was a very old house. And, you know, we thought the cat got into the heating ducts. I had someone come to the house to snake the heating ducts.
Oh my goodness.
And find the cat. And I thought the cat was gone forever and I'm crying and I'm devastated. And it was legitimately 12 hours later when I heard from the walls. Meow.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, check those enclosed spaces because cats like to dart right in.
They do. Back when I was married in the Stone Ages, I had a cat named Inga. And do you remember those old in the 80s, those pedestal water beds that had the drawers underneath?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So Jack had taken, opened one to take out his work clothes, and we didn't know. Inga jumped in and he shut it. And we got home from work and she was still in there asleep. She didn't care. We pulled it out and she's like, what? But it wasn't extra hot weather, but if it was, you know, that was a heated waterbed and the drawer was really warm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to watch that kind of stuff. My cats, every time they hear me get ice out, they come running. So I have several fountains and I have several still bowls and I'll put some of them with ice cubes because some of the cats don't like it. But a lot of my cats do come running. They hear that shh when I'm shoveling out the ice. They're right there. Oh, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk a little bit more. I want to talk more about fountains. We'll be right back.
Talk to the Paw.
Hi, this is Amy Short.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Moore.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails. And who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown. Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Dr. Kelly Cairns, and we're talking about heat and how it affects our indoor cats, let alone the outdoor cats that, in my opinion, you should maybe put some water out for those sparrows and strays that are wandering about. I want to talk about fountains. I really work diligently to keep my fountains clean. However, I've been into so many homes where people don't bother. They think that filters out all the goo like forever. Let's talk about keeping those fountains clean. What happens to a cat, or what happens to the fountains when we don't, and how bad is that for our cats?
Yeah, it is kind of a hidden risk. So I am super pro fountain. I will say that I really love fountains. They're not all created equal and they're not all the same. And so I would definitely research a fountain that is going to be the easiest to clean and not have a lot of inner bits that are going to be hard to clean because, you know, if you, even a water bowl, right? If you don't actually scrub it out and clean it, if you dump it out and then you refill it every day, it will get a slime layer on the inside of the bowl very rapidly. So that's the exact same thing that's going to happen inside the fountain. And so that can be ripe breeding ground for bacteria, yeast, mold, and it can be a problem. So you need to be really on top of that and be aware of it.
And on top of that, the filter, the carbon filter in there, that doesn't last forever either. So keep an eye on that. How do we know when that needs changing? Or is it different per brand?
Well, it's different per brand. So whatever that fountain has, whatever they're recommending, stick to it. It's just like the filter for your, you know, water filter,
inverter,
you know, or
yeah,
the filter in your fridge, you know, the filter in your air purifier. You need to be diligent to follow the manufacturer recommendations.
I've had people say, well, if I put filtered water in my fountain, so I don't have to be as careful, but Yeah, you do, because so food gets in there and cat hair. I have 15 cats, so whenever I'm opening up the guts of the fountain, I see hair globs caught in the filter. So let's say you think your cat is overheating, he's panting. What is the first thing you can, I mean, you need to get him to the ER vet, correct?
Yeah, we're going to take it seriously. So we can kind of go through like what you might see and what to do about it. So yeah, if your cat is, if it's hot and your cat is panting, or if your cat is, you know, drooling or maybe seems wobbly, that's a call your vet now moment for me. So your vet is probably going to say, or your urgent care or whatnot is probably going to say, come on in. But, you know, first thing is we want to get the cat out of the heat relative to what situation is going on. Not instead of going to the vet, but as you're on your way to the vet, things you certainly can do, a cool, not ice cold, just a cool damp towel, belly, paws, and neck. We don't want to fully wrap the cat because even if it's a cool towel, that can still trap heat. Now, it's important to note that that's first aid, not treatment. We're going to be calling the vet. Even if your kitty seems to bounce back, we need to follow our vet's recommendations for things that they might want to check. Again, if we have persistent panting, collapse, heaven forbid the gums are seeming really bright or purple, or seizures, that's extreme heat stroke, and we got to get right to the vet, okay? You know, I do want to say, because I don't want folks to feel scared here, heat stroke in cats is still rare compared to dogs because of their lifestyle factors. But also, remember, cats are very good at hiding things. So cats can have problems going on where we might not even know it, when the stereotypical dog is definitely going to show it, okay? Which is why we need to be watching closely, okay? So that's kind of my step one of what to look for and what to do immediately. That's part one.
So your cat has suffered from heat stroke. Could there be any permanent damage to his urinary tract system, his kidneys, anything like that?
Yes. The scary part of heat stroke is not just like the high temperature or the fever that causes. It's that the whole body can get, all the systems can get thrown off balance. And some of that damage doesn't show up until days later, which is why we want to go to the vet, even if your cat's doing better. And again, most cases of heat stroke can be absolutely successfully treated, especially if we catch it early. I will kind of walk through worst case scenarios, but I don't want folks to feel too nervous. Speed matters, right? And the level of the temperature is really important. So your vet is going to take the temperature, see how high it is, because that's directly correlated with how high it is and how we get more worried when temps are over 104, 105, 106. Kitty temperatures are a little higher than our temperatures. So, you know, I would say normal for us is 98.6. Normal for a cat is like maybe 100 to 102.5. So we're talking heat stroke, severe heat stroke can be as high as 108, 109. That's like urgent, potentially fatal. But when we are up at about 105, 106 for any length of time, we take it seriously. So your vet is going to want to know what temp we're starting at. And then your vet is going to be monitoring that temperature throughout the treatment. But your vet is not going to be trying to bring that temperature down really quickly, because overcorrecting can cause its own problems. So they're going to have techniques they use to slowly and steadily bring down the temp. They're also going to want to check some basic blood and urine tests to just make sure that everything looks good. Kidney, liver, blood counts, blood sugar, the blood's ability to clot. And they will be monitoring those things after the fact too.
Right?
Because the organs get an inflammatory response in response to the high temperature. And so we monitor to make sure that even though the cat recovers, that we don't have any residual complications to the kidney, to the liver, to the gut, or anything else.
Would it be a potential that your vet would send you home with a bag of sub-Q fluids to rehydrate your cat, or is that usually done in the office?
Well, if your cat truly has, I love sub-Q fluids or fluids under the skin to rehydrate. For heat stroke, it's not necessarily a matter of rehydrating. We do fluids to support the kitty, but it's a matter of supporting the kitty as we lower the temperature. And so maybe, but it's not going to be universal that they would do that. It would be more typical that they would do some treatments and monitoring and cooling in the hospital if it's a significant heat stroke.
Gotcha.
Now, you know, again, everybody always wants to know, like, well, what could happen? What's the prognosis here? You know, most cases of heat stroke, if they're not ridiculously severe, and concurrently, if they're caught early, because it's how fast cooling and treatment that is started that matters enormously, most mild to moderate cases have a full recovery. Most severe or prolonged cases will need some significant hospitalization. And there is a chance we could have lasting effect, but the first couple days are the most critical window for those severe patients.
All this is really good information. What have we not discussed that maybe you want our listeners to know about when it comes to the heat and your cats?
Let's maybe talk a little bit about additional risk factors, because we didn't really talk about that. So if you have a smushy face kitty, the fancy phrase for that is brachycephalic, Persians, Himalayans, et cetera, those kitties have less efficient airway cooling. I mean, just in general, they have less efficient breathing because of the shape, the flat face shape of the flat nose, so that they will be more susceptible to heat. Cats that have underlying problems, maybe an older kitty that does have some degree of kidney disease or underlying heart disease or hyperthyroidism, kind of fast metabolism. You know, those cats are already kind of working hard, their little bodies. So heat stress adds a secondary layer of demand. So again, it's just something to be more proactive. Now, I have had some folks say, well, what about shaving my cat?
Oh, that was my next question. You took that right on.
Really? Okay. And Rita, it's like we planned this, which we didn't.
I know.
So funny. Great minds think alike. So don't shave your cat for cooling. Hair coat actually helps your kitty regulate temperature and also protects the skin. So I know it might sound counterintuitive, but no shaving cats for cooling. Now, I have had folks that have asked me about a long-haired cat. And if it's summer, you know, do we shave down a little bit? Yeah, sure. I'm not talking about that. We can groom that long-haired cat in the summer, but we're not going to shave that cat bald. So,
yeah, a little lion cut's okay. Shaving bald, not so good.
Yeah, I love a lion cut. You know, and then also, you know, again, it's probably worth repeating. It's common sense, but cats in cars, right? I think we all know about any animal or person in a car.
Yes.
It's a no-go. You know, temperatures can climb 30 degrees in like 15, 20 minutes. So we are not even for a minute. It's a no-go. No kitty in the car. No kitty in the car.
If you have to take your cat to the vet, though, what I like to do is pre-cool my car before I take the cat. But you never leave the cat in a car and dang it.
Correct. Correct.
I just don't want people to be scared. Oh, it's summer. I need to take my cat to the vet. No cat in the car. Just be smart about it, right?
Be smart about it. Yeah. Yeah. So again, you know, I always like to, you know, leave our kitty loving friends with, like, again, that practical tool, like Monday morning toolkit, so to speak. So, you know, maybe it's not new, but just reiterating, you know, for the average stereotypical indoor cat, you know, it certainly puts them less at risk when you're home with them and everything is air conditioned, but we want to watch them getting trapped in hot, small spaces. And absolutely, when we're going out of town, we want to take those precautions that I talked about. And this is, again, one where quick action, recognizing it, knowing to think about it, and then acting quickly and working with your vet, you know, your kitty's probably going to do really well. It's not a watch and wait situation, though.
We're talking about long-haired cats. Let's go the other way. What about Sphinx and Devon Rex and those cats that don't have much hair? Are they less at risk for heat stroke?
Yeah, they're less at risk than a smushy face cat or a cat with a really long hair coat, but they're still at risk. They're still at risk. Now, for an indoor cat, what I'm going to say is going to sound a little weird because it might not apply, but cats that don't have fur or that have really light fur, like colored fur, if they are outside for whatever reason, we do need to watch their skin. You know, those cats that don't have a lot of fur or have really white fur, they have very light pigmented skin. And so they actually can be at risk of kind of a sunburn, so to speak, and protracted sun exposure can actually increase skin cancer risk on like the tips of their ears or their nose. So it's maybe not exactly a heat stroke conversation we're having now, but it's an impact related to the sun of cats that don't have fur or have really light fur.
Yeah, I have a white cat and his ears are really pink. So I know those would be the first to burn if he was an outside cat, which he's not anymore. Thankfully, I had another question, but it just flew out the window. It'll come back. This is a really useful discussion. I don't think this is something people really think about. I know I didn't until it started getting extra hot and I was watching my cat drink more water. Those fountains are really a great idea. Really watch your cats in the summer. Please run your air conditioner. Oh, I know the other thing I wanted to say, if you feel the need to put out a fan, which I just did upstairs here, make sure it is one that is safe and your cat's tail can't get in there and get wrapped up in the blade. Oh, that would be awful.
We want to watch for that, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, this has been great. I'm so glad to have you back. We are in the middle of really bad heat all over the country.
For sure. And don't forget, you know, it's not going to be over. I feel like, I don't know where it is, what it's like where you are, but in Chicago, we always seem to get that second summer where, like, you know, we'll have a periods at the end of the August where it's like, hey, it's 75, 78. We think it's great. And then all of a sudden it's the third week of September and we're back up to 95. So
I know right now in South Carolina, it's been awful here, muggy, a lot of storms, and that brings the heaviness into the air. And I think it stays hotter because of the humidity. It's not the heat, it's the humidity, right?
That's right.
Although it's both for our cats. Keep your cat inside, be mindful of the heat. And thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Kelly. I really appreciate all your wisdom as always.
Well, you know, it's my favorite thing to do is to be here, so I appreciate you, Rita.
I have a lot more topics we're going to discuss more later this year. And of course, I have to thank Mark Winter for giving me this awesome spot on Pet Life Radio. I will be forever grateful. And everyone who listens regularly knows what I'm about to say. Every day is Catter Day. Please visit RitaReimers.com and we'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.